Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's an absolute pleasure to be here tonight on Memorial Day. Very excited that tonight my guest on the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio is Mark Freundfelder. Mark's the founder and co-founder and creator of BoingBoing.net and a whole host of other things that we're going to get into today. And Mark's written a book called Rule the Web, How to Do Anything on the Internet Better, Faster, and Easier. And I was fortunate to get an advanced copy, and it's just really great. It's just a tremendous amount of information. So Mark is joining us today, and anyone who would like to participate in this call can do so, in this show, can do so by dialing the live number, the number, which is 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. As all Blog Talk Radio shows, this is live and uncensored, and the show can be heard at blogtalkradio.com. The archive of the show can be heard in a number of places, but it can be heard at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy, and you can hear the show as an archive. Listening on demand is, of course, where everything's going right now, and watching TV on demand, of course, Mark's got a nice section on TiVo. But again, our shows can be podcast and subscribed off of the host channel, of my host channel, as well as through iTunes. So my guest tonight, Mark Freundfelder, is the founding editor of the world's most popular blog, BoingBoing.net, as well as the editor-in-chief of the hit technology magazine, Make. Formerly an editor at Wired and a technology columnist for Playboy, he's frequently interviewed for television, radio, and print, including ABC News, MSNBC, The Wall Street Journal, The Los Angeles Times, and Business Week, and I must add now the first social radio network, Blog Talk Radio. Mark, welcome to the show tonight.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks a lot for having me.
My pleasure. Well, I was amazed to learn in your book. I was reading through it today and over the weekend. I had the luxury of having a weekend to spend time on it, that Boing Boing has 350,000 daily readers and 1 million people subscribed to the RSS. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's, we got in at the right time. I think that really helped a lot. Boing Boing has been around for over 7 years now, which is hard to believe, as a blog.
That is amazing. I mean, yeah, when did the first blog start?
Excuse me?
When did the first blogs, when were they first created, blogs?
Around 1988 or 89, probably. 1998 or 99. In 1999, I wrote an article for a magazine called The Industry Standard. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
But it was an internet economy magazine, really popular. And it was about blog. You know, I got really excited. I told my editor, you know, there's this new software called Blogger, and it lets people easily publish stuff to the web, and there's hundreds of these web blogs online. And so I wrote the article. But my editor didn't like it. He didn't think that blogs were going to be, an important thing in the future. He thought it was just a flash in the pan. But I was so interested in it that I decided to start a blog. And Boing Boing had been online since 1995, just as kind of like a web zine. But the blogging, you know, blogger software was so cool and such a great way to present information that I started using it. And you know, at that time, like I was saying, there were under 1,000 blogs. There are probably, you know, just like 400 or 500. And so, if you get in there early and you have compelling content, that really helps capture an audience.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the size is incredible. But do you think it's, obviously something else has to do with it, and it's whether it's the content that's being posted, it's the number of posts you're making, because maybe you can just describe a little about, you know, Boing Boing and how many people, there are others involved in it, right? You have some co-creators and editors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. So I have three other editors, and they're all friends of mine, and they're all professional freelance journalists, or have been at one time or another. And so I think, you know, that's another reason that Boing Boing has a lot of readers, is that we're all journalists, and we all have been paid to write. And so we know, you know, how to write a good headline, we know how to write a good summary of a story, and so that helps a lot. You know, and that, I'm not saying that amateur bloggers aren't good. There are some people who have never written for a print publication, never been paid to write, and their blogs are awesome. But it helps, you know, it can't hurt to be a professional writer. And so that helps a lot. And I think just the combination of the four of us, there's something that we have when we all blog together, you know, that creates an interesting page of links every day. If it were just one of us, it might not be as compelling, but there's something about, you know, the four of us when we get together and the mix that creates something that's interesting.
So you each bring different ideas to the table, and I mean, so I know you're an illustrator, so you do a lot of the illustrations, and are you focused more on certain technology? Well, I see you've got a Tweety Bird post up today. That was after the post about Blog Talk Radio show, so I think we've been just gone over by the Tweety Bird, which is great.
Yeah, well, you know, the newest post always floats to the top, and I'm interested in visual art, you know, graphic design, animation, painting, drawing, and so anything like that, I am especially interested in. But that, you know, all of us are interested in art, and David, Corey, and Shenny will often post something about an interesting artist. There's a lot of overlap with all of us, but we also have our own different beats that make it interesting. You know, Corey talks a lot about digital rights management and copyright and things like that, and David Peskovitz writes a lot about interesting science posts. Shani does a lot of traveling all over the world, and she writes about her experiences going to different countries, and I don't really know what my specialty is. I don't really have a particular interest. I'm just interested in a whole bunch of stuff. So it's just a good mix with all of us.
Right. Now, we talked a little earlier about the fact that you're really virtual. You're based in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and you have and your other co-writers are based outside. They're not in L.A. So how does that work with the four of you?
Well, it works really well. You know, I think that the one thing is that works well for us is that we all basically work at home, and we don't need to coordinate anything. We just, when we see something interesting to post, we post it, and that doesn't require any cooperation among the four of us. And so it's a great way to work when we're far apart. If we had to, you know, if everything had to be really tightly orchestrated and there were certain times we had to do certain things, it would be hard. We'd have to have a lot of calls and a lot of meetings and things like that, but we really hardly ever meet. I think we've met, the four of us have been in the same place and the same time maybe, you know, three or four times since Boing Boing's ever started. And we've probably had a total of, you know, a dozen calls where all of us have been on the phone at the same time.
That's incredible. And are you in the circle? You know, I was at the Web 2.0 conference, and Blog Talk Radio is a Web 2.0 platform, more user-generated activity. Do you get involved in these things, or are you in the, you know, the web, you know, the San Francisco crowd, and attending these conferences and the sit-downs and the Stanford group?
I don't do
group?
Too much. I don't go to conferences or conventions very often. I don't know, you know, like I was saying to you earlier before the show started, I have small kids, so I try to limit my travel as much as possible, because I have to travel for Make magazine. I'm also the editor-in-chief of a technology project magazine called Make.
Okay.
And they're based in Northern California, so I have to travel up there once a month or so to, you know, meet with the designers and the other editors and stuff so we can ship the magazine. Now, you know, that is definitely you know, putting a real print magazine out does require a lot of coordination and phone time and meeting face-to-face and stuff like that. So I get a lot of my traveling, you know, done with Make, and so the rest
of the time... I didn't know people were still reading magazines.
Well, we have an online version of Make, too, but, you know, since it's a technology project magazine, we have the plans for building things in the magazine, and it's nice, it's a handy size, and it's nice to have an actual paper magazine with you, so you can, you know, carry it to the workbench, you can take it to the store with you to buy the things that you need, and, you know, there's a place for magazines, I think.
Yes, I would agree. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask, it may be a very dumb question, and I'm sure people have asked this before, why is it boingboing.net and not boingboing.com?
Well, you know, when I started Boing Boing as a online, it was in 1995, a friend of mine said, and this was when I was working at Wired, a friend of mine who was also at Wired said, I can register it for you. And this was back in those days, you didn't have to spend any money to register. There were no fees for registering things. You just registered it with the corporation was before ICANN. I can't remember what it was. It was John Postel, this one guy who kind of oversaw this organization at USC that managed all the domain name servers. You would register it there, and so he registered boingboing.com for me. And then he, for some reason, forgot to re-register it after a year. And so a design firm in Washington, D.C. called Boing Boing registered boingboing.com. And I, you know, once I went to look at the website, and it was all of a sudden it was this design firm. And so I could have, you know, like gotten a lawyer or something, but I knew that would cost a lot of money. And at that time, only 300 people or so were looking at Boing Boing every day anyway. And so I just changed it over to boingboing.net. And everybody eventually found out that that was the way to go, was to go to boingboing.net. And since that time, the design firm has shut down, and boingboing.com is just, you know, sitting there with, you know, it's like one of those parking...
I see it. I'm looking at it on Network Solutions. It says it's coming soon. The site is under construction. I think you should buy it.
Yeah, well, we put out feelers, and the people who still own it don't seem that interested in it. But, you know, the interesting thing is now with Google, domain names are less and less important. You know, if somebody wants to find Blog Talk Radio, they just type Blog Talk Radio in Google and hit the I'm Feeling Lucky button. It wouldn't matter if the domain... that last thing was .com or .tv or .cc. It would take you right to it because you guys, you know, own that name. And
right.
The same with Boing Boing. If you type in Boing Boing and hit the I'm Feeling Lucky button, we'll take you to boingboing.net, not any of the other ones. So Google has kind of made the, you know, .com less important as it needs to be,
right.
I think, anyway.
Cool. Now I want to take some calls. We have a call that's here now, and we'll take that call.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the book because it's lots of great information in there. 804, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Mr. Levy. How are you, sir?
How are you? Who am I speaking with?
This is Will from Will and Nikki in the Morning.
Hi, Will.
I'm Blog Talk Radio.
You?
Sir, I first of all, before I do anything else on this Memorial Day, I want to salute you. Definitely for your vision. You are you've given a voice to the voiceless, and you are a visionary. Mark, I appreciate what you do. I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
And what we need to do is work together to make this network a great venue for our young people and our elderly and everybody else. And, Alan, I'll tell you what, I don't know how you do it, buddy, but you have absolutely changed lives.
Well, thanks, Dad. I appreciate it. Just kidding. No, well, that's a very nice comment to say, and, you know, I think that if you build something that provides a lot of value to the end user And they're empowered to do something, particularly communicate,
right,
and open up avenues of communication, you know, anywhere in the world, and that's a great thing. And so I think there's a lot of power to the platform, but having people like Mark on Blog Talk Radio, and you know, he's planning to do a show, and those are just, that's just great for the platform. And thank you for your call, Will. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We love you. Bye.
So let's talk about Rule the Web, how to do anything and everything on the Internet better, faster, and easier. It's a very catchy title.
Oh, thanks.
But it's an enormous, and the book is just chock full of so much information. So why don't you, let's just talk a little about, and first of all, when is the book coming out?
The official release date is June 14th. I think that's the day it actually goes on sale on Amazon.
Okay. And what motivated you? I read in one of the opening pieces that one of the publisher contacted you. Maybe you want to talk a little about that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, St. Martin's contacted me. I think it was in probably late 2006. I think that was when it was. It's hard to remember now, but yeah, I think it was late 2006, and she's the associate publisher over at St. Martin's, and she said that they were looking for a book about the Internet, and she wasn't exactly sure what it should be about, so we went back and forth and kicked ideas around and finally came up with the idea of doing something that would be a question and answer format about how to get things done using the Internet, not so much just how to use the Internet, but how to get things done in your life, you know, in your real offline life, done in a better way by using all the cool tools that are out there online. So, you know, if you wanted to, you know, learn about health and medicine or travel or financial information or, you know, that's cool ways to organize your music library or figure out ways to get movies onto your iPod. All those kinds of things were not really being addressed in a book yet. There were a lot of guides to, you know, how to get comfortable with the Internet, but there wasn't really a guide out there that showed you all the cool things you could do on the Internet that would make your real life better. And so that finally was the direction. And so then I, you know, have been online so long and use so many websites, and I'm always curious about, you know, new websites and software and things like that. I'd like to try everything out, that I just started putting all that together and organizing it as I went along, and that's basically what the book turned out to be. And it's, you know, it's a big book. Let me see. It's about 400 pages
400
long.
Pages, small type, and just an amazing amount of information in here. I mean, did you actually go through every one of these applications, platforms, feature sets, or did you have other people help in participating in putting this together?
I checked everything out myself, but I did have one friend help me. His name's Gareth Branwen. He was an editor at Boing Boing when it was a print zine way back in the 80s, and he's a really great friend of mine. And so he helped me, especially with stuff about sports. I have a section on sports. I don't really know anything about sports. That's like my blind spot. And Gareth is a baseball fan, so he was able to help me out in that area.
Right.
But, you know, since I really like blogging and podcasting and creating websites, there's a lot about how, you know, the best ways to create a website, hints and suggestions for creating a really nice blog, how to make it successful. And I talk about all the things that I think, the reasons why Boing Boing has been successful and how you can apply that same thing to your own blog. You know, how to use a wiki, how to use social networking sites.
I was going to ask you about the wiki. I mean, did you think about, it seems to me this would be a perfect opportunity to create a wiki for this book. In other words, where you can create a collaborative discussion on so many of these features where people can participate and others who can lend some of their points of view.
There is going to be one.
Okay.
We have a wiki set up, and it hasn't launched yet, but the website will be rulethewebnet. .com, unfortunately, but somebody already had rulethewebnet.com. But rulethewebnet, and there will be something, I think, we're going to call it the Markopedia. And that's going to have, you know, updates to the book, and it will be, you know, the users can users can update information and point out cool new sites and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be pretty cool.
And when is that going to be set up?
That will probably go live in about a week or so.
And you're going to set up, you know, the chapters, in other words, where you cover these categories, and then you'll have people can open up threads, or is that how you structure it?
Yeah, definitely. We'll have kind of the skeleton, you know, the outline of the book, the table of contents, and when changes come along, you know, I'll make updates, or, you know, if somebody beats me to it and finds a change to a website or, you know, something better, they can put it up there, which
right.
is great.
No, because you've got, you know, the categories of, you know, using the web for creating and sharing, search and browsing. Other topics include shopping, exercise, travel, communications. It's incredible. Into VoIP phones and so on. So what I'd like to know is, like, who are you targeting with this, this content? Is it the novice? Is it the sometime, you know, because this tremendous amount of information as you drill down into each of these categories.
Yeah, sure. The audience that I wasn't thinking about somebody who's like a rank beginner who has no idea how to even get on the internet or how to use email, because there are already a lot of great books out there already, like, you know, The Internet for Dummies or something. We'll get you up to speed if you're just starting out. But this is for people who already are online and they know how to use Google and they already do their email and stuff like that, but they're ready to take it to the next level and learn, you know, how to be more adept at using all this great stuff online. And, you know, I think everybody out there has their favorite sites and things like that, and I learn new things all the time too. So even if you are, you know, pretty well versed on the internet and know a lot, I'm sure there's going to be a lot in here that you'll learn about and will be useful and surprising.
Yeah, there's no question. You're very current with a lot of, obviously it's a new book, but even how do you take your iTunes music from one computer to another, which is almost as difficult as flying to the moon.
I know, they make it really tough.
Why is that, do you think? I mean, what's your, and I see that you're, you know, you talk a little about Apple and this issue in terms of copyright, you know, the inability to use, you know, play the music on other computers. What's your sense of where Apple is in terms of that issue in
well,
the marketplace
think,
as, it,
you know,
as things are evolving?
I think Apple, you know, they make their money by selling iPods. They don't really make their money selling songs on iTunes. They get very little money from that. So if they had their druthers, all the music would be, there'd be no copy restrictions on it, and you could easily move songs off your iPod onto your hard drive. But the music companies insisted that Apple, you know, incorporate this copy restriction software onto iTunes and iPods so that it makes it really hard to move stuff around. And, you know, I don't condone stealing music, but I do think that, you know, if you purchase the song or you have a CD and you rip the songs or you have an LP and you convert it into an MP3, you should be able to easily transfer from one computer to another, to an iPod, to a different kind of system, you know, or play it on your, like I have a Sonos, wireless.
Yeah, so do I. They're great. Sonos is great.
Isn't it? I love it so much. But you can't play songs that you purchased from iTunes on it. It won't do it.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. And so I hardly ever buy anything from iTunes, almost never, except TV shows. But I never buy music because I'll just buy the CD on Amazon or, you know, at a CD store and rip it, because then you don't have any restrictions on it. You know, it flows from one device to another without any hassles. And I, you know, Apple, I'm sure, would love to sell songs on iTunes that could flow around. In fact, they are now with, you know, the EMI catalogs all going to be unrestricted format.
Right, and Amazon is going to be, well, Amazon has, of course, created their new platform, but Apple will also be able to work with the EMI, right?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think that music companies are starting to get wise to the fact that people will pay for music. The reason they're going to, you know, Kazaa and other, and LimeWire and stuff like that is because they don't want to buy music that's got copy restrictions on it. Because a dollar is not much for a song. It's cheap, you know. And I also think that most people are happy to pay for something because they know that the musicians get supported by buying music. And if you're a fan of somebody, you're going to want to support that person. You know, I sure do. If there's a musician I like or an author I like, I'll buy the audiobook or I'll buy the song. I have no problem with that.
Right. Why don't we take a call? We've got 347. Nope, that call. Let's see. Not coming on there. What's your take on Google? I mean, they just bought Feedburner. Is that right? Well, no, they didn't buy it yet. I guess they've been discussing it. I don't know if that's come out yet.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear that. I think, you know, for the most part, I think Google is pretty amazing. I mean, they sell these incredibly, you know, they develop these incredibly powerful tools. Just unbelievably cool. And they're absolutely free because they're advertising supported. And it's almost like they have just kind of discovered these kind of fundamental principles of the internet that are going to be timeless. You know, I'm just in awe of how well the stuff in Google works. And I'm a fan of Gmail. I know that a lot of people have problems with some of the privacy aspects of Gmail, but I think Gmail is really cool too, because you can you know, use it, you know, you can use your regular email client and pop it in with a pop server.
All right. Let's bring on another call. 347, you're on Blog Talk Radio. Hello? 347.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Mark there?
Yes, you're speaking to Mark, yes.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, great. You know, I remember reading your article back in 1998 in the Industry Standard, The Future of Search Engines.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was a very prescient article. You really had the foresight and understanding about who would rule with search engines. And what I want to ask you is that on Boing Boing, a lot of your posts are very entertaining and very lighthearted. Is there ever a time where you really want to emphasize a point, you want to express a seriousness about a topic where you really want people to take notice and say, look, this is going to be important, you know, in 5 years or maybe 3 years, this is really a trend that people should watch and take seriously? Do you have trouble, like I say, emphasizing the seriousness or the importance of some topics over others?
Well, you know, something like Google doesn't come along very often. So, you know, if I saw something that I really think is going to be amazing, I would make a note of that. And but you're right. That is kind of an interesting thing about a blog like Boing Boing, is that, you know, my blog post about a Tweety Bird popsicle has the same headline size and gets the same treatment as one of, you know, Jenny's posts about, you know, a genocide in Africa or something. And so it's something that the reader has to realize with Boing Boing, is that everything is kind of given the same weight when we post something. In a way, I don't know how we could change that, or if we would, if I would, you know, if we would want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting thing to think about, that's for sure.
I mean, it's a powerful tool. I mean, when you consider the fact that you've got a million people subscribing to your feed, you know, Tweety Bird or Genocide or, you know, a point of view on Apple and whatnot, I mean, it's a powerful medium, there's no question.
Yeah.
And certainly props to Cindy and Corey. They both do great work. I mean, I really admire them for the passion about the subjects that they cover. And I know you're very passionate about technology, and I see that coming through on Boing Boing.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks so much. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of great things about technology. I think that it certainly helped my life in that, you know, I get to work from home and I get to spend a lot of time with my family and do things with my kids that I wouldn't be able to do if I, you know, here in L.A., if I had to commute to work, which I had to do in the past. I had a job in the late 80s where I commuted up to 405 every day, and I could only do it for 4 months because it drove me nuts. So, you know, things like telecommuting are fantastic, and being able to research and things like that. There's a lot to be said for it.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Alan.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. That's great. So this, we're just talking about the industry standard, and here you have someone who read an article from that time.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really cool. Now, what's your plan for promoting the book? I mean, how do you, you know, obviously you're going to use a lot of online tools to do that, but are you going to go through some of the more traditional routes of publishers, a publisher like St. Martin would typically do in terms of interviews on other news show, TV shows or radio, whatnot?
Sure, yeah, I have some, you know, I have some appearances lined up, like at Fry's Computers and the Apple Computer Stores and things like that, and some Barnes & Noble things. But I think, you know, I'm going to do the weekly live call-in show on Blog Talk Radio, and I think that is going to be a really cool thing. Every week, you know, a day before the show, I will mention that, you know, remind people that the show will be on, and I'm going to have a lot of guests
right
on the show that are, especially people that are kind of in the productivity sphere, like Gina Trapani of Lifehacker is going to be our first guest on June 5th. And then we have people like Merlin Mann from 43 Folders and Mark Hurst from A Good Experience, who just wrote an excellent book about internet productivity called Bit Literacy, which has some really great tips for using, you know, effectively handling your email, which I thought was really valuable. So I'm going to have a lot of really cool guests, and they're going to, you know, share their secrets for how the, you know, how they use the internet to help
which is
them.
Great. And, you know, of course, they can post the widgets on their site and promote your book and so on. And one of the conversations we've been having recently with Blog Talk Radio is with the author community where, you know, rather than do a book tour, where rather than have a publisher send an author to 12 cities, why not do a Blog Talk Radio show, stream it live, and give the an author's audience the ability to ask questions, chat with the author, and maybe even buy a signed copy of the book.
Yeah, and I think, yeah. For me, with my other books, book tours have not really, I mean, you have to be a huge author for people to want to come out and see you. And I haven't had that great of an experience doing book tours. I think, you know, just blogging your stuff and doing podcasts and things like that. That's a much better way, I think, to get the word out.
Yeah, there's no question. And we have a number of authors actually do online book readings, and I saw that you have in your book here, How Can I Participate in an Online Reading Group? But that's what Blog Talk Radio can actually do.
That's true. That's
right?
A really great idea.
Five or six people can participate reading. You can have open lines for calling in, and you can just have book readings. We have many authors that promote their book, and we have the little Amazon badge up when people can click through to the book. So So there's a lot of different utilities for that. And I know, so your first show's with Gina, you had indicated on June 5th, I believe, right?
Yeah, June 5th. And then I think that's on a Tuesday. And then after that, we're going to try to do it every Wednesday. We'll have Mark Hurst from the author of Bit Literacy after that. And then on the 20th is my editor, Dave Moldauer. He was the editor of the book, and he is a really cool guy, a young guy who has a couple of podcasts that he does. One of them is called Moldauer in the Morning, and he's got tons of great ideas for cool websites and things like that. And it was really a pleasure working with him. And so he's actually going to help blog on the Rule the Web blog with me, because he's got a lot of great suggestions for cool sites and things like that too. So,
well, maybe
we have
get
a lot
him
of
on,
good.
Yeah,
good
we can maybe get him on a show here on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah,
I know that Stowe Boyd, who does a show on Blog Talk Radio, would like to interview you as well. So we need to coordinate that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Stowe's a great guy. Have you met him?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I met Stowe a few months ago. We had launched in September of last year, and we did not make a lot of progress with the technology crowd on the West Coast. We made tons of progress with, you know, people in Tennessee and Minnesota and bloggers, and we've had John Kerry, and then we just have people from all shapes and sizes, but we really weren't known in the community and the 2.0 space. And this, of course, is a pure 2.0 play. So I reached out. I was looking for some people, and I reached out to Stowe, and he was so nice. And he, you know, I call him on, and he's lives in San Francisco. He is the ultimate in guy over there. And Stowe was nice enough to come on board and kind of work with us and introduce me to a bunch of people and so on. So Stowe is going to be interviewing you. We're going to get that organized. Hey there, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I my phone ran out of batteries. It was my fault. So I grabbed
okay.
there and called in on the other line. I missed the last 15 seconds or so.
That's okay. And I was mentioning Stowe Boyd and how I met him. And
where does he live?
Stowe lives in San Francisco. You know, in a loft. I mean, he's great. You know, I went to this Web 2.0 conference.
Mm-hmm.
It had been the first time I've been out to San Francisco in a lot of years. There was 11,000 people there.
Wow.
Just unbelievable numbers. And this was Federated, John Battelle spoke, and it was O'Reilly. O'Reilly put on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived through the telecom years. I took a company public in 99, and we sold it, and I lived through the capital markets in those times. And there are some heady times right now in the Web 2.0, the social networking space, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of social networks that are being developed, and I wonder, you know, really how do you really distinguish one another? You know, how do you do that?
That's a good question. You know, again, I think the ones that have been around the longest have a better chance than newcomers, just because, you know, it's kind of the eBay effect. The reason everybody goes to eBay is because, you know, that's where, all the buyers go to eBay because that's where all the sellers are, and all the sellers go to eBay because that's where all the buyers are. So for the social networks, you want to go to one where there's the most people, because then you have a better chance of getting connected with other people. So, you know.
Do you use many?
I use LinkedIn the one that I use quite a bit. And are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I like that. I don't really use MySpace, and the reason I don't is just for aesthetic reasons. I think that the MySpace pages are just so ugly and hideous. They're just hideous.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard to navigate, and, you know, it's just all those people posting, you know, the friend list with the pictures, and it takes forever to load, and I can never get the photos or the videos to work right. You have to log in to look at the pictures. I am amazed that, you know, it's so popular in spite of how clunky.
I think it's declining. You know, I have young kids, and you know, well, my son was 17. He hasn't been on MySpace. He's been on Facebook for 3 years, and you know, he's met his college roommate. He's going off to college in September. He's already met his roommate on Facebook. He's going in with, you know, a bunch of friends before even, you know, getting into school.
That's really cool.
It is a cool thing. I mean, we didn't have that when we went to school. What about Second Life? What's your view on these virtual worlds? You know, Second Life being one of them. I met a company, Kineva, another one. What's your view on Second Life and that type of environment?
I think that you know, there's potential in those kinds of sites. For me, the problem is that it's just doesn't run as quickly or as smoothly as I would like it to be useful. You know, you pay a lot of, you pay a high price to get that kind of, you know, full color, you know, semi 3D environment. And I don't think that price you pay is worth what you get. And so I think, you know, there's going to be a combination of higher bandwidth and faster processing speed on your computers. That has to come first before these things really take off and people, you know, experience
but
them. We want the metaverse in Snow Crash to happen, and these things are, you know, like the metaverse, you know, just a little tiny pinhole of it, you know, dribbling out, and you want, you know, the fire hydrant of sensory experience coming out of it.
So how many people signed up? I mean, I know I joined once. I went on. I spent one day. It was so long, complicated, and I haven't been back. And
yeah,
I wonder
how
many people do that. You know, they go on, they hear about it, and they just don't come back. And
yeah, that's kind of like how I feel about it. I've had, you know, I have friends who love it and are on all the time. They think it's fantastic, and you know, good for them.
Right.
But I'm actually kind of waiting for it to be fun and useful. You know, this one thing that I think isn't, you know, like about Rule the Web. I wanted, you know, really to focus on things that are truly useful, and you know, more than just having a neat concept or a neat idea. The practical reality of it has to deliver.
Yeah, this entire book, you have 400 pages of practical advice.
Yeah, I tried to make it pretty info-dense, you know, so there's not a lot of wasted stuff. You know, the introductions to the sections are super short.
I mean, how can I speed up my typing? Use abbreviations to enter frequently used chunks of text.
That's
amazing.
That's such a lifesaver for me. So, you know, if somebody sends me a letter saying, oh, I want to send you, you know, a copy of my book, or, you know, I want to send you my CD for you to review, I'll say, great. And then I just type in ADR in my email, and that automatically fills in my address.
Right.
And, you know, if I type in MF, it turns into Mark Fraunfelder in any application. It's a program called TextSpander for the Mac, and they have, you know, similar programs for Windows. And it's a huge lifesaver. And then, you know, the problem is, though, when you use someone else's computer, you enter those abbreviations in and nothing happens.
Right.
It's really frustrating.
I can imagine. And so that was an interesting one. And one of the things about podcasts, I mean, do you do many podcasts? I see that on your link there were, you know, at one point you were doing them and the different editors. So
we do
two
different podcasts. We have the one podcast called Boing, 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 and it's kind of a rundown of the posts, you know, the stuff we posted on Boing, Boing that week, although we only do it really about every 2 weeks. And then the other one is called Get Illuminated, and that's me and sometimes David Peskovitz. And we interview authors and musicians and filmmakers and cartoonists, and that's more of a one-on-one interview. And that one's a lot of fun.
I mean, you could these, you know, I know Blog Talk Radio would be probably, I mean, when you first called into Ariana's show back in October, and we were talking about what were her secrets to success, and she said taking a nap, which was interesting.
I love that.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, that was just classic. And
it's good advice, too.
You're right. But the ability to, you know, like a Boing Boing, the best of Boing Boing, you know, having a show on Blog Talk Radio, but, it, you know, you do it on a podcast. You know, you have people, you know, you pick the best two or three, four ideas of the week is a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the cool thing about Blog Talk Radio is the live aspect. That's something that's always been, you know, missing from podcasts is that you can't have real-time interaction with listeners. And the fact that you've set up a system that you can do that is pretty amazing. And have it be so easy to do, just dial a telephone number. I mean, I don't even need to have a computer to do it. That's pretty cool.
No, yeah, there was a hurricane. Actually, when we launched in September, and there was a hurricane in Katrina occurred a year earlier. And there was a poet who's one of the first, in the top 50 hosts that we got. We've produced more than 15,000 broadcasts since we launched, which
that's
is an I find it amazing,
that
number, 15,000.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and so we do, I don't know, we have 120 live shows a day now. Most people do it once a week, like you're planning a weekly show. But the Los Angeles Fire Department was one of the first hosts on Blog Talk Radio. They're very progressive. The LAFD, if you go to lafd.org and they have a blog, you'll see one of the Blog Talk Radio buttons on that, and they were starting out. This was maybe a slow time, but, you know, I was living in L.A., you know, the fire department, they're very busy. But what I was going to say is that there was a poet who did work on Katrina. His life was dedicated to the Katrina disaster and the victims. He lived in San Diego. But I forgot the name of his website, but he came on. He was one of the first hosts on Blog Talk Radio, and he was due to air his show at 6:30. We got a call at 25 after 6, and he was frantic. He was calling from his cell phone. His computer died, and his show was about to air at 6:30, and he was going to do some readings on air, live, and he promoted it on his blog, and he was very upset. All his internet went down. We said, don't worry about it. We'll manage a switchboard. You just call this number. So we had him call into the show, and he went along and did his show without a hitch. So that was kind of a neat thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So you get to that, you know, and it was great. And, you know, so we look forward to having your shows here. And I just this book also, I mean, you're going to be able to buy it on the website as well?
Yeah, we'll have a link, and probably, you know, links to Barnes & Noble and Amazon so people can buy it there. Or, you know, also feel free to go to your local independent bookstore and buy it there, too, if you're interested.
Well, I think many people will. And will this be a widely distributed book in your view?
Yeah, I think so. You know, St. Martin's is really putting a lot of effort behind it for distribution, and so... in fact, I've never had such interest from a publisher in my book. You know, the other books I've done, you know, the publisher has been, you know, done a decent job of promoting and stuff, but St. Martin's is, like, really working overtime, and my publicist is, you know, constantly calling me and sending me emails, asking me to do this or that, and, you know, getting excerpted in magazines and stuff. So it's been a great experience, and I'm really happy that they decided to do this book and that they contacted me to do it. It's been just fun every step of the way.
How are you integrated with Wikipedia with this? I mean, there's so much information. Have you focused on that at all?
No, I didn't really. I mean, I wrote about Wikipedia and, you know, talked about how to start, you know, how to create an article on Wikipedia and how to edit an article that's on there, because I think that's a really cool thing to do. If you have special knowledge about something, by all means, go to Wikipedia and contribute to it. It's such a great thing to be able to share your knowledge with other people, and Wikipedia is a fantastic resource. So, but other than that, you know, I didn't really use Wikipedia for research for the book because it wasn't, you know, Wikipedia really doesn't have how-to information on there.
Love this. Read a blog of rejected Wikipedia articles, Wiki Dumper.
Oh, yeah.
.blogspot.com. It's a blog that presents articles that were flagged as inappropriate Wikipedia uses. And you happen to read the junk.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on there. It's weird. You know, that is one thing about Wikipedia is, you know, they're, especially over time, I think, and this is response to criticism, you know, in the media. Traditional media likes to criticize Wikipedia for, you know, not being accurate or, you know, having problems with people, you know, just causing problems on there.
We were thrown off. Blog Talk Radio was deleted from Wikipedia. It was amazing. I mean, I have no idea why, but we were deleted. And
you see, they're just being overly conservative, which is, you know, a mistake in my opinion. But this Wiki Dumper, there's some cool stuff in there about, you know, like lycanthropy, you know, werewolves and things like that that they just aren't interested in, but I think it's fascinating. It's fun to see what people, you know, what's getting rejected from there.
That's incredible. So how do you manage all your time? I mean, you've obviously seen every website under the in you know, on the web and all their feature sets. How do you manage your time?
Well, you know, it is interesting. I see new websites all the time, and you know, I'll definitely be adding those to the website as I go along. I've been keeping a list, but I do follow David Allen's Getting Things Done pretty closely. I think I have my own system that I use with it. I have a program called Life Balance. And it's from a company called Llama Graphics, or Yama Graphics, I guess would be the correct pronunciation. And it's a little, it's a program that lets you create to-do lists by project and by context. So, you know, for example, I have one that's, you know, like if I'm writing a book, I'll set up a project and just say, you know, write book about, you know, whatever, and then I'll put under that, you know, sub-projects, like, you know, research or contacting people, and then you can assign importance levels to each to-do item. You know, how important is this item, you know, as part of the project, and you use a little slider bar, and then it creates a to-do list for you and shows you which things you should get done first in the day. And so it works out really well for me. One thing I have in there is...
What is that again? I'm sorry, what software is that?
Oh, it's called Life Balance.
Life Balance.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's from Yama Graphics. And you know, I have something, and you can have recurring tasks. Like I have something where it's called Do Quicken, which is, you know, the Quicken software. Every day it tells me to do Quicken, and then I just work on Quicken for like 15 minutes and make sure that, you know, my bills are paid and, you know, check my bank balance and do all the kind of financial things I need to do. And, you know, if I'm working on some paintings or something for a show or something, I will have something on there every day, you know, do paintings, and then And then, you know, when it's time to do painting, sometimes I'll just have, you know, like I'll do it for a half an hour a day and just set an egg timer. And when that time's up, it's time to focus on something else. And it works out really well. You know, I just think, you know, keeping a schedule and sticking to it as much as you can, but at the same time being flexible for, you know, all the interruptions that come in a day that you have to deal with is, you know, works for me. Pretty well. I do a lot of different things, you know, so I need to make sure that I have a good system that tells me everything that I have to do. Otherwise, I'll forget, and then, you know, somebody ends up getting mad.
Right. Well, I'm sure you'll be very busy promoting the book, which is due out June 16th, called Rule the Web, How to Do Anything and Everything on the Internet Better, Faster, and Easier. And I think that's had a great – I think you're cooking a barbecue for tonight, right? Is that –
Yeah.
What's on the grill?
We just making some turkey burgers for my wife and the kids. And
okay.
Memorial
well, I hope
Day.
I hope they're still in good shape, considering we've spoken for about 50 minutes now.
Well, to tell you the truth, I ate one of them while we were talking. but I was pretty careful with that.
Well, you can't do that on TV.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be – I'm going to tell you one other thing. You're not going to be able to go to a studio when you get on some radio program and be able to eat a turkey burger let's say this. You won't be able to barbecue and eat a turkey burger while you're in a studio at some station in L.A. So
exactly, yeah.
Blog Talk Radio is the right place for you.
It totally is. Sure. Well, yeah, I'm just really excited about Blog Talk Radio. It's a very cool system you've set up, and I'd like to hear sometime. I'd like to have you on my Blog Talk Radio show sometime and have you explain how you started the company. And I'm sure there was a lot of work involved in making this whole system work, you know.
There's a tremendous amount of work involved, and I would love to do that. I've been interviewed, of course, but I would be honored to be a guest on your show on Blog Talk Radio. So it's a great story, and so we'll definitely – I'd love to do that at some point.
That sounds great. Yeah, I'm really curious.
Great. Well, Mark, thank you for joining me, and hope the burger came out good. The book is great, and I'd love to – get a schedule of your broadcasts here. We're going to promote them on our site as well. And
that sounds good. I'll send that to you.
Yeah, send me that. And of course, these shows can all be subscribed, right? Right. And so you should be registering. You're probably already registered on iTunes as a publisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these feeds can actually roll up right into those same feeds.
Cool.
In iTunes. So when someone goes there, they'll be able to pick up your Blog Talk Radio show. And I had sent you Amy Domestico's email, and you've been corresponding with her. And Amy's, she knows the system better than anyone, and she'll help you out and help coordinate in anything you may need there.
That sounds good.
Well, best of luck.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Alan. It's great speaking with you.
It was great speaking to you. And I look forward to meeting you next time I'm out in L.A. or on the West Coast. Maybe we can meet.
That would be fun.
Terrific. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye. So that's kind of a cool thing, and Mark was honest enough to let us know that he was eating a turkey burger. Not only was he cooking the turkey burgers, he was eating them on air. So I love that. I mean, I think that's what Blog Talk Radio is about. It's about conversations. And, podcasts are cool, and that's fine. And I have this thing about ums and ahs and generally speaking, podcasts are, not allowed to have an air, but here we have someone who's eating turkey burgers and participating. So, anyway, Mark, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay. So that was Mark Freuenfelder this past hour, the founder of Boing Boing. He's got a terrific book out, Rule the Web. I encourage you to pick it up. There's just a wealth of information in here. It's truly fascinating stuff, and he's a great guy. So thank you to Mark. We're going to be continuing to do some more shows on Blog Talk Radio, getting set up, and it's been quite an exciting ride, and I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight and participating in this discussion. Have a good evening.